Krishna loves us. This is an important fact to understand. And he has written us many letters. This is one of the love letters he has left for us. Yeah. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. Bhakta Vatsala means he loves his devotees and he loves to serve his devotees. So we want to become devotees. We are developing devotion. So here, gloriously, you have completed the first 9 chapters of the Gita. So that's the whole first module of the Bhakti Shastri. So 1/3 of the Bhakti Shastri course is completed. The 9 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. And the second half of the Gita is the second module. So, and not only that, you also completed parts of the third module, the Ishupanishad and Nectar of Instruction, right? So you are like halfway through. Yeah, you are halfway through. So you are over the half of this Bhakti Shastri. The first 9 chapters, we have introduction where Prabhupada ingeniously describes how to study Bhagavad Gita, the spirit that one has to accept Krishna as an authority, at least theoretically, to begin. Then first chapter, Krishna puts Arjuna into dejection. Arjuna is depressed, which was rare in those days, but which is not rare in this material world, and especially nowadays. So this depression was used to connect Arjuna with Krishna. So the first chapter sometimes is called Vishada Yoga, or Yoga of Depression, or Yoga of Dejection. Vishada. So, and he's showing his good qualities in the first chapter, like detachment and morality. And in the second chapter, he surrenders to Krishna, and Krishna gives him the exposition of the main topics, the paradox of yoga, work without working, and the nature of the soul is eternal and individual. Then we have beautiful description of person in samadhi. And third chapter, we hear more that we must work, we cannot not work. So everybody has to act one way or another. So therefore one has to work for Krishna. So offer one's work for Krishna, and then you are using the energy of your nature, and at the same time you are free from the defects and you are connecting with Krishna. And the fourth chapter, Krishna introduces information about himself, the object of knowledge. He speaks about yagya as the technology, yagya or sacrifice for achieving anything. He describes 24 kinds of yagya, as far as I remember. Many kinds of yagya. And then fifth chapter describes the miracle. If you focus on working with detachment, so work without working, then on its own a transformation happens in the heart. And you are going from the level of karma yoga to the level of jnana yoga. You realize the self. So the person is working, that's why it's called a secret knowledge. Because from outside, the person is just working, but inside he is giving up attachments to fruits, just attachment to the fruits. And then he loses also attachment to the work. So this is brilliant exposition by Burijan Prabhu, that we have two kinds of attachments, to the fruits and to the work. And the normal mistake that one first does. One tries to give up work, but not the fruits. And Krishna recommends give up fruits, not attachment to the fruits, not the work. And then fifth chapter is beautiful transformation, how your heart becomes free from any attachments. Then sixth chapter, meditation. Meditation and introduces the glory, the superiority of bhakti, that of all the yogis, bhakti is the best. And then we enter the middle chapters. Middle six chapters are glorifying bhakti directly. So in the seventh, so practically in almost all of these chapters we hear how to see Krishna everywhere. In these middle chapters, almost every chapter touches one. So seventh chapter and the ninth chapter and the tenth chapter and the 11th chapter, they show how to see Krishna everywhere. And chapter 8 shows how to see Krishna every time. So that's in space and that's in time. And 11th also in time, because he's in the universal form, he sees how all the times are in Krishna. And 12th directly describes the glory of devotional service. So there are different ways to see Krishna. What is the most famous example of how we can see Krishna around us or in our life?
Water.
Yes, water. This is usually what. So Prabhupada is saying, so that when you drink water, then you think that the taste of this water, Hare Krishna. This is Krishna. Pure taste of water. What are some other famous examples how to see Krishna?
Ability in man,
yes. So all the talents are Krishna. Yes. Some other ways?
Sonce,
yes. Sonce.
What is it? Like the eye of Krishna?
The eye of Krishna, yes. It's the eye of Krishna. All the light, yes.
Strength of the strong.
Yes. Okay. So everything. He is the beginning, middle, and end. And he is the three modes. But foolish people don't see him. They think that he is impersonal. So eighth chapter encourages us. The seventh chapter introduces surrender. So seventh chapter introduces surrender, which is our secret technology. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. These are the topics that we have introduced. Hare Krishna. Can I ask you your good names?
My name is Sabina.
Sabina.
And
Karuna Rao. Karuna Rao. Karuna Rao. We need Karuna. Karuna is good. Karuna is mercy. Hare Krishna. Yes, so these are very important topics that have been introduced. Surrender. If we understand what is surrender, we can be free from any problem. We can resolve any problem. Because surrender means you stop identifying with the mind, stop identifying with the situation, stop identifying with the body. And if you learn this, that basically a one-second solution to all the suffering. This is what other yogas are trying to achieve in many decades and lifetimes. And this is the one-step sadhana in Ashtanga Yoga. So it's a famous Ashtanga Yoga, 8 steps. Last month in Munich, I gave a Bhagavad Gita overview in one yoga center, and so the instructor there, she mentioned, I never heard such a terminology. So they sing kirtan also there, and everybody was singing Hare Krishna. So they are following Patanjali, who says in the Yoga Sutras Samadhi Ishvara Pranidhanat, that by just surrendering to Ishvara, you can achieve Samadhi, or the top goal of yoga. Ishvara Pranidhana, so you are surrendering yourself to the Lord. So this is one step sadhana. If you just do this, you don't need anything else. The rest of the book is irrelevant for you, because you have surrendered to the Lord. So for outside of the school of bhakti, this is not easy. Outside of the school of bhakti, you just have to let go, right? But like give up, renounce. But here in bhakti, it's very natural, because it's not negative, it's positive. You're surrendering not just to give up something, you're surrendering to offer yourself to Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna, out of devotion. In this way, it makes it much easier and more natural. And then if that doesn't work, then Patanjali says, two-step sadhana, abhyasa and vairagya, practice again and again, and detachment. And if that doesn't work, then he says, okay, 8 steps, yama niyama, so forth. So surrender is very powerful when we understand. And in fact, the whole our process of anartha nivritti, or purification of anarthas, is the process of surrender. When we achieve nishta, we are sharanagata, we have surrendered. And until nishta, until we are fixed in bhajan, in bhakti, we are practicing, trying again and again to surrender, to give up the anarthas. So give up the false identifications. So this is not cheap. Then chapter 8 describes the importance of remembering Krishna all the time, and introduces the notion, the concept of pure bhakti, ananya bhakti. In verse 14, as far as I remember, Krishna says, ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityasha. Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. This is 8:14. So he says that if someone without deviation always remembers me at all times, so for such a person I'm easy to achieve. So God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becomes easy to achieve by ananya bhakti, by pure bhakti. I mean, it's difficult to even sometimes get a personal meeting with some celebrity, with some famous person, you know, or rich person, or powerful person. And here, this is the richest and most powerful and the most famous person in all the worlds. And he says that he becomes easy to achieve by ananya bhakti, by pure bhakti. So, in chapter 9, we were discussing what is pure bhakti, that this is the secret of all secrets, and then this is the we have secret knowledge, more secret knowledge, and most secret knowledge. So we have several, we have actually five levels of knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. One is morality, that's ordinary morality, that do your duty, yes. And then the next level is secret knowledge, that you are a soul, and by yoga, working without work, working without identification, working with offering the fruits, you can become free. This is more this is confidential, secret. Knowledge of soul is secret. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And more secret is surrender. Is surrender to Krishna. It's more secret. Because this is not just knowledge of spirit, this is also knowledge of the Lord. And it's more secret because it's more powerful, and you know the energies of the Lord, you meditate on the Lord. And then the most secret, when you not only know that you are spirit, not only you are surrendering to the Supreme Person, but you also do bhakti. You also perform, you do this for Krishna's pleasure. Anybody remembers how to express the secret of all secrets in just two, three words? Yes, exactly. So intend to please Krishna. Intention to please Krishna. This is the secret. It's an open secret. It is so secret that we even hear about this, and we even try to practice it. It still remains a secret. But this is a secret which can transform our life, which can explode all the obstacles, and which can bring the festival of unlimited ecstasy in our life in 1 second. As soon as you actually catch this mood of trying to please Krishna, then everything changes. This is bhakti. And today we begin chapter 10. Anybody wants to add something, subtract something, say something, comment? Yes.
Karma. But we put so much effort for being in a good time, let's say, you know. And it is the same. Good and bad times will come out of our karma. We don't need to try. Mm-hmm. Right? So what is this connect with this surrender? If I don't think about, you know, problems are coming, I don't think about problems. But for good things, I think I'm working quite a lot for, you know. Mm-hmm. And if I also live this, you know, just be the way it is and just work whatever I work without any thoughts, how it will stop, is any connection with surrender of this, or is just...
There are several points here. So if I understand properly, the question is that if you work without concern for good and bad fruits, is it surrender?
Yeah.
Is it a form of surrender to Krishna?
It's not complete surrender, I understand, but you know, because I'm not attached for.
Yes. 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 In that sense, yes. This is part of surrender. So you're not attached. And to expand it a little more, working without attachment is a tricky challenge, because we want to produce good fruits, but we don't want to enjoy them. So this is a real surrender. So if you are working, it means you this is the first mistake, as we mentioned, that Arjuna makes. He says, I don't want the fruits, so why work? And Krishna tells him this is a material mentality. And it means you're still attached to the fruits. You still think that fruits of work are for your enjoyment. So therefore, no fruits, therefore why work? Right? So it means still hidden attachment to the fruits is there. That's why he says, karmani vadikaraste ma paleshu kadachana. So you have adhikar or eligibility for karma, right, for karma, but not for the fruits. Ma paleshu kadachana, but not to the fruits. And then immediately he follows, don't ever, so if you work in the proper mood, then some fruits will come. So when the fruits come, when you are acting in a detached mood, sometimes very good fruits are coming. And then you did it without attachment, and then somebody comes and brings you the fruits. So you think, yeah, okay, they are coming, you know, so it's natural. So who did the work? I did the work, you know. So they're mine. They're mine. And if I'm not attached, then the tendency is to give up work. So therefore he says, mate sangostu akarmani. Don't be attached to idleness, to not working. So we want to work, we work, and at the same time we offer fruits to Krishna, so we are not attached to good and bad result. And this is a part of surrender, yes, this is part of surrender. So, and again, bhakti is the miraculous path which allows you to, in karma yoga, outside of school of bhakti, you just have to give up the fruit. But here you offer it for Krishna. And and you can offer it even before you work. So therefore, because Krishna accepts your motive, bhava grahe janardana, therefore you are successful regardless of the result, and you can be happy. That's why a devotee can be happy whether whatever result comes. This is a miracle of of being happy. Whatever result comes, you are satisfied because you have worked. You have done it out of the devotional attitude. You have done it for Krishna. So this is so offering fruits to Krishna. And amazingly enough, it can even work backwards. It can, you know, bhakti is beyond time. So you can offer, you should offer before, or you can offer after the work, you know. And this way you can transform your work and your attitude, and you can be happy. So whenever we are unhappy, it means, whenever I'm unhappy, it means I have not offered. I have not offered this to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And because I haven't offered it to Krishna, that's why I'm feeling some unhappiness. So therefore, solution is easy, offer. And you can offer also what was before. Yes.
And it's offered to Krishna, but yeah. For me it's, you know, how can I transform this that I'm not enjoying the way? I mean, in theoretical, I understand, but in practice, how it means now not to be attached to this birthday and not enjoying this
birthday? In devotional service, you cannot, in proper action, you cannot avoid pleasure. Pleasure will come. But we should not think that this is mine. In other words, should not think that every time I will definitely get it. I should not be attached to get it next time. And when I'm taking it, I should not think that this is my reward. I should think that this is Krishna's mercy. So this is a gift from Krishna, and Krishna is giving. Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Because in a proper activity, good results are coming. And a person may start in a very proper mood, and then one becomes attached. Because, and we will be tested, because Okay, to renounce one birth is difficult, but not so difficult. But then Krishna can offer you a planet, you know, and then can offer you so many wonderful things. So then, in that case, renunciation might be more difficult. Okay, now. Okay, last question.
Please, could you just repeat these five stages of knowledge? The first is morality. The second, I know that body. The third, surrender. And the last one is try to satisfy Krishna.
Yeah, that's the fourth.
And the fifth?
It's try to say to satisfy Krishna in specific relationship with rasa. Sorry. So it's laukika or ordinary knowledge. It's morality. Next one is secret. That's karma yoga or jnana. I'm not the body. And the next one is more secret. That's surrender, meditation on the Lord. And next one is most secret. This is bhakti, direct bhakti. And then there is most secret of all, where there is a relationship, specific relationship between you and Krishna. So bhakti with rasa, with a certain rasa. These are five levels in the Bhagavad Gita. Yes. Hare Krishna. We can begin our chapter 10. Let us chant together the Sanskrit. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Bhuya Eva Mahabaho Shrinume Paramam Vachaha Yatteham Priyamanaya Vakshyami Hitakamyaya. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "Listen again, O mighty armed Arjuna. Because you are my dear friend, for your benefit I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained." So this is... The chapter is called The Opulence of the Absolute, or in Sanskrit, Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti, these are opulences, special powers. And Prabhupada is saying in the last paragraph, the more one hears about the Supreme Lord, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. Yeah, this is this last paragraph. Yeah. So the more we hear, the more we become fixed. One should always hear about the Lord in the association of devotees. That will enhance one's devotional service. Discourses in the society of devotees can take place only among those who are really anxious to be in Krishna consciousness. Others cannot take part in such discourses. The Lord clearly tells Arjuna that because Arjuna is very dear to him, for his benefit such discourses are taking place. So, when we have a desire, then we get some special flow, a very special channel opens, and Krishna's mercy is flowing. So here he says, "Priyamanaya, I am giving this to you because you are dear to me, Priyamanaya." And he says, "Shrinume, please hear." So Krishna, it shows Krishna's enthusiasm. So Krishna is inspired by Arjuna's, first of all, he has just described the secret of all secrets and the power of bhakti, how dear are devotees to him, and he is inspired to reveal even more about himself to Arjuna. He calls Arjuna Mahabaho, mighty armed one, and so that doesn't mean just physical power, it means also that Arjuna is very powerful in understanding. He can understand the knowledge that Krishna is going to reveal. So, text 2. Name vidusuragana prabhavam namaharshaya ahamadirhidevanam maharshinam cha sarvashaha. Neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages. So the origin cannot understand, the product cannot understand its origin. Yes? Unless the origin reveals himself. Yeah. Like, if my father doesn't tell me what did he do when he was young, or how did he finish the... If he didn't tell me that he went to listen lectures in the university, even on the day he had his appendix removed after surgery, I would never know it. You know? But if he tells me this, then I think, oh, he was serious about studying. So Baldevya Bhushan says that you cannot understand Krishna without devotee's mercy. So we need devotee's mercy. And he mentions here two categories, Suragana and Maharshaya. So someone may say that, okay, the demigods don't know you because they are attached. But, you know, they are rishis, they are detached, so therefore they will understand. But he also says, Namavidu Suragana, Prabhavam na Maharshaya. Neither attached nor detached, understand me. So, very important point that we cannot catch God by the beard. We cannot force God to reveal Himself. It's very important to not make God cheap, because sometimes it may happen after you read the Bhagavad Gita, or after you come to Krishna consciousness, then so many things become clear. You know about karma, past life, you know Krishna, three modes. So many things are clear. But sometimes what happens, we are tempted to think that we already know everything, that we understand Krishna. And in this way, we just have some concept of Krishna instead of Krishna. So our doctrine is achintya bheda abheda tattva, inconceivable oneness and difference. So we are all one with Krishna, but we are all different from Krishna. So and this is beyond material logic. It's transcendental. Situation. Once one devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I don't understand. How can one be at the same time one and at the same time different? So Srila Prabhupada said, so you don't understand this? He says, yes, I don't understand. So then Prabhupada said, so you should understand the fact that you don't understand. So first understand that you don't understand. That's the first step. Because if I think that I can understand God by material logic, it means I have no clue about God. And oftentimes when you see the arguments the atheists give against God, they don't touch Krishna. These arguments are irrelevant to Krishna, because they are discussing some material concept of God. They don't discuss our Krishna. When somebody denies, some impersonalists deny that God can have a form, then because form is limiting, so they deny the form that Krishna doesn't have. You know, Krishna doesn't have a material form. So therefore, their refutation doesn't touch Krishna. Krishna doesn't have a material form. Anama Rupa in the sixth canto. He doesn't have material names, he doesn't have material forms. So his form and name are beyond matter, beyond material. Like Ravindra Sarup is saying that sometimes people are challenging him, that saying that, I don't believe in God. So then he says, he's asking them, in which God you do not believe. And then they describe, I don't believe in such God, or I don't believe in God that's cruel and creates hell, I don't believe God that makes people suffer, I don't believe in that God or this God. So then he says, oh, you know, in the same God that you don't believe, I also don't believe. The God you don't believe in, I also don't believe. It's not our God. It is just some mistaken concept of God. So it's probably, we can say, the first step of respecting Krishna to understand that he is achintya, that he is understandable materially. So that's the first step of understanding. If I understand that I don't understand God, that's a big understanding. That's a big progress in understanding God. If I understand that I don't understand God, because then I will not have, you know, like in Christianity they speak about idols. So idol, idol, yeah. So idol is exactly this, some cheap version, some cheap concept, where you try to squeeze unlimited God into some limited, small, human concept. So that means that I don't understand God. That means I don't understand God. That's not Him. So we have and the proper. So that's why you can see in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, "Jananta eva jananto kim bahuktya name prabhu." Those who say that they know God, let them say so. As far as I'm concerned with my four heads, I know nothing. They know nothing about you. And same in the third canto, in the so many times, he says that I don't understand. Lord Shiva doesn't understand, and Mahavishnu does not understand. Even Krishna himself sees no limits to his powers. So that's something that you will not be bored in the whole eternity, right? That's good news. If even Krishna cannot find limits to his to himself, that's very good news, because otherwise it would become boring. Even if he were very interested, you know, like there is some music, there can be, you know, you have some top 10 and you have number one song, and I don't know what's the record, but it's very rare that number one song remains number one for more than 2-3 weeks, and then it starts going down and out. Yeah, so when you hear it many times, it becomes boring. Okay, there can be more sophisticated music. There can be some more sophisticated music. So this music you can hear many times, but still, you know, if you hear it again and again and again, and it's torture. It's called torture. But Krishna is unlimited, so therefore he is always newer and newer, always more and more interesting. Any questions or points on this? Have you understood something? Have you understood that you don't understand? Krishna can, because he is unlimitedly powerful, Krishna can himself reveal himself. And he will reveal himself through love. So if we love him, then to the person who loves you, you are ready to reveal all your secrets. Yeah? And you can, you're ready to open your heart. Yeah? So Krishna also, when he sees that we are his bhaktas, his devotees, then he reveals himself to the devotee. So this means two sides. On one side, from our side we become bhaktas, and then from his side when he's testing us, he will say, so are you sure you want to be my devotee, or maybe you just want a big bag of money? So he will give you a big bag of money. Do you want this? And then you say, no, I want you. He said, okay, but how about, you know, some power? How about this or that? And then he said, no, I want to serve. I want to please you. So then Krishna said, okay. And then he can reveal himself. Yeah? Sri Krishna Bhakti Ki Jai. Very good. Hare Krishna. So we are trying to understand Krishna who cannot be understood. And this is a very important point in understanding. This is the first step in understanding Krishna. Then text 3. Yoma majamanadim chaveti loka maheswaram asamudha samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he only, undeluded among men, is freed from all sins. Sarva papai pramuchyate. So by actually understanding something about Krishna, just by understanding a little bit of the truth about Krishna, we become free from sins. Sarva papai pramuchyate. All the sins are removed. And Shishnath says that sins, first of all, for a devotee, means obstacles. All the obstacles in bhakti are removed. Yeah? So whatever stops us, whatever hinders us, that is cleared by. That's why we are studying. So this, we are studying here about the power of Krishna, about his mystical position, and why do we study this? Understanding this removes obstacles. Understanding this removes misconceptions and therefore removes obstacles from our path. And it clears the way for pure bhakti. That's what Krishna says in a further verse, a little later. One of the later verses. So he says that he is Aja, he is unborn. But he is not Brahma, because he is Anadi. Aja is unborn, but he is not Anadi. And Loka Maheshwaram, he's Loka Maheshwara, but he's not so someone can be unborn and anadi, unborn and beginningless, like some perfect soul from the spiritual world, but he's not Loka Maheshwara. He's not the Patanjali also, in Vedanta Sutra it says also that, not Patanjali, but Vedanta Sutra says that even a liberated yogi cannot create universes. You get great powers, but still you are not the supreme. You cannot create universes. He is Loka Maheshwaram. And this way you become Asam Mudha. You do not confuse. You do not place material concepts on Krishna, and therefore Sarva Papai Pramuchyate. Then we are cleared from all the obstacles. Do you want to be free from obstacles? So this is the result of a little knowledge. This is the result if we understand Krishna a little bit. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada gives a beautiful commentary about one who can understand Krishna, that this is very rare. And Sri Vishwanath gives an example of Damodar. So Damodar, who was bound by a little kinkini belt, so some belt like a rope with belts, and at the same time Mother Yashoda could not bind him with a huge rope, the same belly, same place, same time. That rope could bind Krishna, the other rope could not bind Krishna. It was not enough. So this is, of course, this is a very interesting idea. It's like, I mean, for any mathematician or physician, this is like a brain chocolate, you know, to think how to construct a, you know, a mathematical model of such a space that you that you can bind here and not bind here. So Damodar, this is Krishna, and then somewhat mysterious list of qualities appears in the next two verses. Very beautiful qualities, because one can think, okay, so I have to understand Krishna, I have to become different. So I have to come to a different state of consciousness. So therefore Krishna describes, okay, here are the qualities of a person who is in goodness, who is in sattva or a perfect brahmana. And so maybe by this we can understand Krishna. So here are these qualities. Let us chant. This is verse 4 and 5. Yeah? Buddhir jnanam sammoha kshama satyam tamah shama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahinsa samata tushti stapo danam yaso yasa bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prithag vidam. Yes, intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. So, someone, you know, can say that, okay, we can understand Krishna by buddhi, by intelligence, or by jnana, by being in knowledge, or by being very very forgiving, kshama, or truthful, or self-controlled. And these are very nice qualities. Just listening these qualities is pleasant to the heart. It purifies our heart. Yes, when we hear about these beautiful qualities. So, or maybe I should be a very positive person, so sukham, then I can understand Krishna. Or if you say no, then maybe I should be very miserable, dukham, I should be very negative and very skeptical about everything. Maybe then I can understand Krishna. But all of these states are coming from, they are Krishna's energies. They are Krishna's energies, and therefore by these energies you cannot conquer the source of these energies. So these energies can be obtained only from Krishna, and they themselves do not allow us to conquer the source of them. They are not independent. They are not independent, and they are Krishna's. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, intelligence cannot know its origin. Intelligence cannot know its origin.
Cannot.
Yes. So, yes, material intelligence. But, of course, these qualities are sattvic, so therefore they bring us closer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes, he describes all these qualities in detail. He gives beautiful definition of all these qualities. And then Prabhupada says at the end, this is second last paragraph, now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities. For one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities. But the person develops them himself from within. So, are they coming automatically? Prabhupada says, one who engages in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord develops all the good qualities as arranged by the Supreme Lord. So it's a very interesting combination. Krishna creates them, but you have to develop them. So he is creating, but you have to develop them from yourself, from within. These qualities, not from outside, but from within. So these are the qualities. So now, can you please go through this list? It's interesting. Some of these qualities are negative. There are some negative qualities, happiness and distress, and it appears that there are some spiritualists who think that we can come closer to God by these negative qualities. Just like a few days ago, one devotee asked Vijay Prabhu in a class that in Christianity suffering is glorified. Actually, they even had to publish an encyclica or circular, send out a message that you don't have to be a martyr. Mochanik, okay. You don't have to be mochanik to go to Krishna, because it became a fashion. They were looking for an opportunity to die, to be tortured to death. So in these early centuries, so they because Jesus Christ apparently says in the Bible that happy are those who are persecuted for me and suffer for me. So they thought, okay, let me suffer for Jesus and die, and then I will achieve perfection. So therefore Krishna mentions distress, happiness and distress, birth and death. So just in itself, when Sanatana Goswami wanted to jump under Jagannath Rathayat in Rathayatra under Lord Jagannath's Rath and commit suicide, Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that if I could achieve Krishna by committing suicide, I would have done it already 1,000 times. So you cannot just achieve Krishna by dying, you know. Also in Ishupanishad, we have this beautiful shloka, which says, Vayuranilam amritam athedam bhasmantam sharira om kratosmara kritam smara kratosmara kritam smara. So, Vayuranilam amritam atha idam athedam bhasmantam shariram. First, may my subtle body merge in the totality of the prana and the subtle body, and then may this gross body be burnt to ashes. If it's otherwise, if first the gross body dies, then we just go next to the next gross body. If the subtle body is not removed, then the subtle body goes to the next body. So first we have to dissolve the subtle body. And how do we do this? By bhakti. You know, what is subtle body? Subtle body is mind, intelligence and false ego, and subtle body is desires. Subtle body is composed of desires. Desires and aversions. Something you like and something you hate. So this is what is our subtle body. So until you become free from this duality, these desires and hatred, then we have subtle body, and therefore there is every danger that we get another gross body, if we are lucky. You know? Otherwise we remain a ghost or something. Yes, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped Sanatana Goswami. Suicide is not a solution. Some people try to escape suffering. Some even, you know, spiritual people, they think suicide is a solution. But suicide, you know, doesn't change doesn't purify our subtle body. So we have to again take gross body. So therefore, it's not a solution. That's why Krishna mentions all these things. Or sometimes even devotees, sometimes they think, I just have to tolerate till death. And then I die and I go to Krishna. So we think death is the method to go to Krishna. Isn't that sometimes in a somewhat subtle way we think that, you know, just a death. When I die, then I go to Krishna. Just death will will change everything. But we are dying every day. We are dying every second. We are dying every evening. You know, every next you have this experience in the evening. You are so determined. Yes, tomorrow, new life, attentive japa, mangalarati. Yes, and then you go. And in the morning, you know, what? You know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, shut up. Sometimes, I don't know if you if you live in the ashram, or I don't know if you have this experience. Like in that joke, you know, this joke, the guy is saying that, can you please wake me up tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock? So please, very carefully, wake me up and run. Because this is, I was surprised sometimes, you know, in the temple, some devotee misses, you know, oversleeps, and then he asks you, okay, can you, so let's do it together. So can you please wake me up in the morning? So, you know, he's so fixed and so enthusiastic, so serious, and then you come in the morning and you wake him up, and he's like, and he said, you asked me to wake you up. He said, come on, get up, get up. And he says, I am tired. I am sick. I am this. And it's, sometimes, you know, they are like almost like violent. It's like a different person. Because actually sleep is the function of intelligence. So, you know, the intelligence is still sleeping. So you're waking the body and the mind, but the intelligence is still out, cold. And then, you know, 3 hours later, he wakes up and he comes and he says, why didn't you wake me up? So, every morning it's like a new birth. And again, we have to, you know, like in the morning we have to brush our teeth, otherwise we smell like a garbage pit or something. Yeah, we have to brush our teeth and wash the body. So in the same way, we have to brush our brain, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You know? It's like brushing your teeth. And that's what Brahma has. Brahma has it on a large scale. Every morning he has to recreate, rearrange the universe, and he forgets. So every morning what he has to do, he has to sit and, you know, and meditate for, by his time, it's like about 2 hours. And he chants japa, Gopal mantra. And then during this japa, then he remembers, oh, yes, this, this, this. And then he does it nicely. So, and just dying is, it is a good opportunity. It is a good opportunity. You can try to program yourself in the evening. In fact, the last 1 or 2 hours before going to bed, if you plan your next day and have some good ideas about the next day, imagine how you will chant and look forward to it. If you have enthusiasm about what you want to do in the morning, have some good desire and program it. And then, of course, go to bed in good time, you know, leave enough hours so that you rest, not otherwise it becomes too difficult. So you have to stop early, otherwise, you know, not be passionate, be sattvic, stop in good time. And then focus on the next day, and then in the morning you can be surprised how your japa can be different, and many things can be different. And also, every time there is some danger, it's like rebooting your life. Like my very good friend, he liked to go to the mountains. He said, every time I have depression, I go climbing in the mountains, in the dangerous places, where without security, you know, where you can just fall. And he says, after a day of climbing, he says, I'm totally fresh and I have no depression and no suicide thoughts, no nothing, very clear. And there is a whole philosophy, you know, existentialism, that are saying that at the time of such tests, we can understand our true identity, or we can choose our true identity. We can choose our true values. So, anybody was on the verge of death or experienced some death danger? Anybody felt some transformation, or anybody learned something new or something good about yourself at this point? Yeah? It's quite. It forces you to to see in a different light what is important in life, and what are your values. Like this last it was October, I think. I had a very high malaria, a very high fever. I thought I was dying. You know, it was very high fever. So I wrote to my friend Mahabhagavata all the information, how much money I have, where, how to get it. You know, okay, there is this card. This is VIC money. So many rupees. This is the pin code. It's lying there. It's lying here. So I told him what to do with which. I sent him the email, and he could steal. And then I laid down, and then it was a very interesting experience of several hours of reevaluating your life and finding what is important for you. What are your values? So. Yes, death can be important, but we have them. We have these experiences often. We are dying every evening. Every difficult choice is a small death. You know, like every morning to get up for Mangalarati, it's a small death of the ego. You know, every time during japa, when we choose to listen even one Krishna name, it's a small death of the ego. Yes. So every choice we make, you know, it's a transformation. It's a death of something old, and it's going to some new state. You're coming here. You know, you could have gone to, you know, Fribe. You know, you could or go somewhere else. Nice weather today, but you're coming to listen to the Bhagavad Gita. So this is. Some transformation. It's going further. So we have these opportunities throughout our life, every time. But again, we need Krishna's mercy. So all of these can be helpful. Fear, fearlessness. What should we fear? What we should not fear? Yes, we should not fear death. We should fear material desires, material entanglement, non-violence, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy. I don't know how you use infamy. Infamy, maybe by being humble. I don't know. Sramota. Yes, infamy. Yes. Well, that's what Krishna writes here. So all of these are some qualities which can help us to approach some understanding, but they are Krishna's energies. So we need Krishna's help. Okay, now can you please look at these qualities and choose one quality that if you practice it every day, it will transform your life very positively. So choose one.
For
yourself, yes. So can you please choose one of these? There are 20 qualities here. So one of these 20 qualities, choose one. and choose one that is number 20 for you. I mean, choose number 1 and number 20 in importance for you. Truthfulness, okay?
The last one is fame.
Okay, good. And your?
Potential?
It is?
Mine was also the most important, truthfulness, and the least, death.
Death, okay, good.
For me, the most was nervous questions.
Okay, fearlessness.
Fearlessness, and the last one, mystery.
Distress. Okay, good. And yours? Control of the mind and senses, and? Okay, slava and sramota, okay.
I would like shama, because I think
shama, control of sense, mind and death is love. Okay, good. And
na quel momento mi ero soffermato sull'uomo in illusia e su tutti i quali molto molto con una grave persona con una momento di risalto.
Okay, good.
Control of mindset and senses and faith in me.
Fame and fame. Okay, good. And what's your good name?
Alenka.
Alenka. Okay. So. Yeah.
Yes, and that was Uranovesh.
Uranoveshness, yes. Okay, very good. Yes. Yes.
Drugač kot 20 nisem dala. Sem dala kot drugo, osvobojenost od
Okay. Okay. Okay.
My number one is control of the mind, and 20 is satisfaction.
Okay. And your good name?
Sandra.
Sandra. It's.
I have two good ones. So, non-violence and forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Yeah. And non-violence. The
shape,
and fame is the last
one. Okay, the first one is forgiveness, and the second one is?
No, both are the first one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, okay, non-violence.
Non-violence, I think. Okay, very good. Excellent.
And yours?
Well, satya also, for me, truthfulness, and infamy. This is the last one. So now, what I would like you to do, can you please... Oh, yes, Karuna, Prabhu.
Sorry, I apologize. Equanimity.
Equanimity.
And maybe satisfaction.
Satisfaction. Okay, very good. One thing is, it's quite interesting, you can see that how we are all individual, that we have different qualities and we have priorities that for each one of us may be a little different. That's always a surprising and interesting result in these exercises. So now, what I would like you to do is, can you please take 5 minutes and write down 6 instances, 6 times when you acted against that quality, when you broke the first one, when you think you should have done like this but you didn't. So some 6 examples of when you broke this. Is it clear? Everybody? And then after that, please write down the next opportunity where you think you can practice the positive quality. So first you can write six or eight instances of when
failures,
yes, when you failed to manifest this quality in the last month, let's say. Okay? Or last week. And then one instance where you can practice this quality today, tomorrow, or in the next 2-3 days. Are you clear? Can you please do this?